All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our special Sunday morning shiur at the Young Israel. Wormir Chodesh Cheshvan, Chodesh Tov to all, Shavua Tov to all. So in choosing the topic for today's shiur, I thought it would be appropriate, perhaps, to start talking of these Sunday morning shiurs, Bali Neder. I'm not going to say I'm going to do it every time, but about Tikkun Hamidos. And today's shiur is called, So What If I Am Angry? It's Not Idol Worship. So we are going to be exploring the midah of ka'as. Of course, you could write a whole sefer on this, but in the one era that we have, we will be exploring the midah of ka'as today. Lilui nishmas chava ita bas Moshe tzvi ha-kohen, Allah ha-shalom, her yirta, it was this past Friday, Erev Shabbos Kodesh, Pashos Noach, may her neshama have an aliyah in the merit of our Torah. So, you do have a handout, or you should have a handout. It's on the bima. Please make sure, if you don't have one, to get one. Let's talk about Kas. In the Geras HaRamban, the Ramban wrote a famous letter from the city of Akko in Eretz Yisrael to his son, who was in Spain, and he wanted to inspire him to act with humility, and he recommended that his son read this letter once a week. And of course, the recommendation is not only for his son, but for all of us to improve our midos, to teach it to his children, so they should learn it by heart, to train him in their youth to be Yirei Shamayim, to fear God, to be humble people. And with what advice did the Ramban begin this letter? Shema Bini Musa Avicha Al Titosh Tavis Imecha Tisnaheg Tamid. Always you should be benachas, you should be speak pleasantly, your head should be down. And one of the first things that he tells his son is, Haser ka'as milibecha v'haver ra'a mibsarecha. You should remove anger from your heart and evil from your flesh. And it's actually a pasuk from Kohalas, the way the Ramban begins the Igeres. We're not going to go through the whole Igeres today. That's a whole series probably in itself, but it is a pasuk from Kohalas. And he tells his son, you shall remove anger from your heart. You shall remove evil from your flesh. The end of the pasuk is actually ki hayaldus v'ashachus hevel. First source on your handout. What it means is that youth and the dawn of life, shachus is from black hair, are vanity. So the Ramban is telling him, in the youth, a person is full of vanity. And Metzudas David says, it's in your footnote. Is everyone with me? You know what I'm talking about? You have the handout. We're starting with a pasuk that the Ramban quotes in the Igeres. And one of the first things he tells his son is, I'm on page 1 of the handout, don't be angry. Haser kasmi becha, remove anger from your heart. It's a pasuk from Kohelas, Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Yud, which is the first source on your handout. Remove anger from your heart, badness from your flesh. Ki hayaldus v'hashachus hevel. Youth, yaldus, and shachus means black hair. When a person in their youth has black hair, they are vanity. And Metzudas David says, just understand the second half of the pasuk, your footnote on your handout, hataiva sheyesh la'adam b'yimei hayaldus v'hanarus heima mibli to'elas. The taiva, the desire, the yetzer hara that a person has in his youth is without purpose. V'lachein his har me'od me'od. You should be very, very careful when it comes to the desires of your youth. But the beginning of the pasuk is, you should not be an angry person. Rav Nisano Quinn was a lifelong friend of Rav Avram Palm, Zechat Tzadik Levracha. And he recalled that during his first decade as Rebbe, Rav Palm taught the 9th grade class at Yeshiva Torah Vadas. In a class of 30 teenagers, it is inevitable that at some point some of those boys are going to misbehave. Yet, quote, Rav Palm never displayed a trace of anger. I knew Rav Palm, says Rav Nisano Quinn, for more than 70 years, and I never saw him exhibit anger. He dealt with a Talmud's infraction as a doctor would deal with a person's ailments. The doctor does not scream at the person from being sick. He advises him calmly regarding proper treatment, which diet to follow, which medication, how to be healed. Rav Palm would patiently and calmly guide his Talmud as to how to improve his behavior as a doctor tries to treat a patient. So what does Rashi say on this pasuk on Kohelas? Rashi, it's at the top of your sheet. Haser kas milibecha, remove anger from your heart. Rashi says there, dvarim hamachisim es hamakom. These are things that cause God to be angry. So isn't that interesting? When we are angry, we cause the Ribono Shel Olam to be angry. In fact, that's what we say at the end of Shemona Esrei. In Nusach Sfarad Siddur, it has it. I don't know in Nusach Ashkenaz. There's a little extra paragraph. And it says, Shalo Achos Hayam. What is the next thing? V'shalach Chisacha. I should not become angry today. And I should not anger you, Hashem. So when I become angry, right away we're starting to understand that the result of that is never mind how the other person feels, but who have I angered? The Ribono Sha'olam, Vaser Ka'as Mili Becha, Dvarim Hamachisim Es Hamakom. So not only are you violating Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, but now you also have a problem, Bein Adam La'atzmo, va'aver ra mi bisarecha. The Ramban tells this pasuk to his son, who should you remove from your flesh? Rashi says it right there, it's on your handout. The Yetzer Hara. For those who just came in, there's a handout on the bima. Please make sure to take one. So here we are in the 8th month of the year, counting from Nisan, or the 2nd month of the year, counting from Tishrei. We are in the month of Cheshvan, the month after the Yamim Noraim, and the month after the Chagim. The days get shorter. In fact, we just changed the clock. I said before I started the shir, how nice it was to have an extra hour last night. Whoa! It was like midnight, and the clock went back to 11, and I was so happy. The weather gets colder, life is routine. A very interesting month. There are absolutely no Chagim in this month, no fast days, no mourning, no rejoicing. It's just a plain month. And we go into the monotony of fall into winter. So Rav Shimshon Pinchas says every year, as Elul arrives, there are people who wonder, why do we need all these 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul, all three Yom Kippur, right? The month of Elul plus the Aseret Yemei Teshuvah. The avoda of these days, says Rav Pinchas, it's very interesting. He relates these 40 days, this time period of Teshuvah and Tefillah, to Cheshvan. He says, we learn from Cheshvan the purpose of these 40 days. Cheshvan is called Mar Cheshvan. We know Mar, Mem, Resh, Cheshvan. And he says this hints to Mirachashin Sifei Vasai. This means a person's lips whisper and move. Mirachashin Sifei Vasai, a person's lips whisper and move. So we go through the month of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Slichos, Tfilos, Kedusha. 2 months, you get so used to reciting these prayers that when the month of Cheshvan comes around, says Rav Pinchas, your lips are still moving. You're still whispering prayers. You should be so used to talking to Hashem. I'll tell you something, I'm admitting it, even though this is going to be online, and then anyone who wants could hear it. But it was just Rosh Chodesh. And in Yal V'Yavah, you know what I said? First, quick, it came out. I said Chag HaSukkos. I'm admitting it. I said the wrong thing. Then I quickly said, no, it's not Chag HaSukkos. It's Rosh Chodesh. I almost said Rosh Hashanah. That's the point. You get so used to those special, intense, Kedusha-filled, davening Teshuvah days, Merachashin Sifei Vasai, even after that time period passes, your lips are still moving. You have become accustomed to the avoda of that time. It's supposed to carry you into Cheshvan. So if Simshon Pinchas says the inspiration of these days should have made a tremendous impact on the purpose, on the person's soul. And he says that's the avoda of these days, to acquire Torah, to acquire tefillah, to acquire fear of heaven, Yirat Shamayim, so strongly that, quote, it reaches the depths of our hearts and penetrates the inner soul. So even when the Yamim Noraim and Elul's over and Tishrei's over and you come to boring Cheshvan and nothing happens in Cheshvan, and how am I supposed to be inspired in this month where it's cold? Not yet, it's beautiful outside, but it's going to be cold and it's going to be dark. How am I supposed to be inspired? The words should still be coming out. Your lips should still be whispering. Your heart should still be pounding with Avodas Hashem because you're so used to the Amim Tovim, you don't want to let go of it. And he says that inspiration that we should take into Cheshvan, Merachashin Sefei Vasai, my lips should be moving on their own, which is why I said Chag HaSukkos. I'm not saying it's good. I'm not condoning what I did. I'm just telling you what honestly actually happened. And that should take us through the whole year. This is the time, says Rav Pinchas, to fill ourselves with spiritual riches for the whole year. So even though Cheshvan seems to be a boring month, it's actually a very important month, a month where we take all the Kedusha from Elul and Tishrei and use it to fuel ourselves going forward. So, it's to keep the momentum, that's Cheshvan, to keep your lips whispering and moving, to keep going. Any Kabbalah you took upon yourself in Elul and Tishrei, any resolution to be a better person, don't give up, to be inspired the whole year. The Kabbalos that we took, the changes we resolved to make, should become naturally part of who we are. Don't give up and let go of Avodas Hashem, even though the Chagim have passed. And the very struggle itself in Avodas Hashem, and of course we're going to come to Kas, but this is true of any Midah or Mitzvah in which we try to improve, the struggle itself represents the Nisayon, coming up to Avram Avinu El Nachacha, Basar Nisyonos Nisnasa, Avram Avinu, it is the Nisayon, the challenge itself, that when we overcome leads to Nis. The nisayon leads to miraculous miracles if you can overcome. And that is very valuable. The struggle itself is very valuable to the Ribono Shel Olam. It's not only if you pass, it's going through the nisayon that is so valuable. Rabbi Yisrael Solanter famously taught, it is easier to learn through Shas than to change a single Midah. It's easier to learn through Shisha, Sidre, Mishnah than to change an ingrained, inborn part of who you are character trait. And yet, character traits are called midos. And midos means measurements. And Rav Pam Zatzal explains they are called measures because through a person's midos, which we define as character traits, through a person's midos, which literally mean measures, we can measure a person and evaluate his true worth and his true essence. It's the midos of a person that indicate, that teach us who that person is. The Gra, the Vilna Gaon writes, commentary to Mishlei, it's not on the handout because I actually saw this over Shabbos. Right? So therefore, this handout was prepared before Shabbos. Ki ma shahadam chai, I'm quoting the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, to Mishlei, Perak Dalet, Pasuk Yud Gimbal, 4:13. Ki ma shahadam chai hu kidei lishbar ma shalo shavar adhena. For what purpose does a man live if not to break within himself what he has not yet broken until this point? Also Hamida, that character trait which needs to be broken. Lekach tzarich tamid lihitchazek. Therefore you always need to be strengthening yourself. Im lo yischazek, lama lo chayim. If he does not strengthen himself in regard to tikkun amidos, why is he alive? Ki masha adam chai hu kedei lishbar masha lo shavar adhena. Oso hamida. Lekach tzarich tamid lehischazek. Ve'im lo yischazek, lama lo chayim. In English, because the purpose of man is that he should break those midos, those character traits that he has not broken until this point, and therefore he needs always to be strong in this area of Avodas Hashem. And if he is not strong, what is the purpose, says the Vilna Gaon, of life? So in regard to tikkun midos, one of the most important midos that we must eradicate from ourselves, and we're going to see it in the Rambam, is the midah of ka'as. And then I amended it in my notes, and I put in parentheses, maybe it's not accurate to say we can eradicate ka'as, but we can control within ourselves the midah of ka'as. Rav Mordechai of Neshetz, Poland, deeply desired a pair of tzitzis from Eretz Yisrael. He wanted tzitzis made from the wool of sheep that ate the grass of Eretz Yisrael. But in the 1700s in Europe, in Poland, it's not so easy like it is today to get products from Eretz Yisrael. But he was very determined, and he managed to acquire after much work and effort, a garment of wool from Eretz Yisrael. So he took it to a certain Talmud who is proficient in this area to make a pair of tzitzis for him. The Talmud is making the tzitzis, and to his horror, he realized when he finishes, he mistakenly cut two holes. For that, not one hole, two holes. The garment is ruined. So he hesitantly brought the cloth to his rabbi, Rav Mordechai, expecting to be rebuked. And at first, when Rav Mordechai saw the precious tzitzis, he worked so hard to get that piece of wool. He wants it from sheep that ate from the grass of Eretz HaKodesh. He turned beet red. His face reflected anger and anguish. After a few tense moments of silence, he smiled and he said to his Talmud, this pair of tzitzis was supposed to have two openings. The Talmud wasn't sure what the Rabbi meant, and he said to his Rabbi, two openings, Rabbi? And Mordechai said, yes. One opening is for putting my head through. The other opening is to test myself. Would I control myself or would I fly into a rage? I will keep this pair of tzitzis to remind me every morning not to be angry at anyone else throughout the day. So there is even value in woolen tzitzis from Eretz Yisrael with two holes. The Rambam famously teaches, it's in Hilchos Deos Perak Aleph. If you go through Hilchos Deos Perak Aleph, the Rambam Maimonides famously teaches that for all midos, it's best to be middle of the road. You shouldn't be one extreme the other way, and you shouldn't be one extreme the other way. If you think of the midos on a spectrum, character traits on a spectrum, so in life you should be a Beinoni person when it comes to midos. You shouldn't be too much like this, shouldn't be too little like that. That's in Perek Aleph. And then when we get to Perek Beis, the Rambam gives you the exception to the rule, because there are always exceptions to the rule. And now it turns out that sometimes it's not always good to be in the middle of the path for certain character traits. You should be all the way to the extreme of, you should never have those character traits. So let's go to your handout, please. Hilchos Deos Perek Beis, Rambam Mishnah Torah. Hey. So the first nakuda is yesh deo sha'asur lo. I'm at the top of your hand. If you don't have one, it's on the bima. The yesh deo sha'asur lo adam linhog behem bebeinonis. So now, after he spun Perek Aleph telling you you should be the middle of the road, now Maimonides says, accept that there are certain character traits, characteristics, personalities that you should never be in the middle of the road. Beinonis is middle of the road. Ava yisrachek ad hakatza ha'acher. You should be very, very far away from the middle. Be at the extreme of not embracing these character traits. The first one is gova halev. A person should not be a bal gaiva, because it is not the good way. The good way is a man should be very humble. I'm not going through this nekuda in depth on purpose inside, because gaiva is for a different shir, not for today's shir. You should be very low in spirit, which, by the way, the Ramban in his Igaris also recommends to his son. You should be a humble person. And it says that Moshe was very anav, and therefore the Chachamim said in Pirkei Avos, me'od me'od heve shafal ruach. You should be a very, very humble person. Look at the next line, by the way. Va'od amru ka shakala magbia libo kafar be'ikar. Anyone who is a bal gaiva is a kofar be'ikar. A kofar be'ikar is someone who denies the existence of God. Wow. Because the pasuk says, when your heart becomes haughty, you will forget Hashem. So the first thing you should not do is be a bal gaiva. Except that that's a different shir for a different time. Now let's talk about the next nekuda, which the Rambam writes, you should never be bein onis. You should always be at the extreme of, I don't want this midah. The kain hakas. It should be very clear. I'm on your handout. Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis, Simen Vav. You with me? The chain hakaas, so too anger. Dea ra'ahi ad lema'od. It is a very bad, very much, very negative character trait. V'ra'i la'adam sha'yisrachak mimena ad hakatza ha'acher. You should run far away from anger. On the spectrum, if this is the most angry, this is the middle, and this is least angry, you should be at the zero nakuda. V'yilamad atzma shalo yichas. Look at this. You have to teach yourself not to be angry. So the Rambam's not saying it's easy. Just like you have to teach yourself how to be challah, and you have to teach yourself how to make a cake, and you have to go to school so someone should teach you how to be a doctor. He doesn't just say don't be angry. Key word, the yilamed atzmo. He acknowledges that it's hard, but somehow your avoda in life is to teach yourself not to be angry. Look at the next words. V'afilu al davar sharai lichos alav. Even when it's something that really it's worthy to become angry about. In other words, anger is justified in such a situation. The Rambam says, you still shouldn't exhibit anger. So what should you do? Is everyone with me? I'm turning too fast?
No.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. So what should you do if sometimes anger really seems justified? Now it's underlined for you. V'im ratza lahatil ema albanav uvnei beso. You want to instill fear over the members of your household. O al hatzibur, or over the congregation. Im haya parnas, you are a sustainer of the congregation. In other words, you're a prominent or important person, you're a leader. V'ratza lichos aleihem, kidei sheyachziru lemutav. The only reason that the anger is justified in this situation is for chinuch purposes, or the tov. You want them to return to the good path. You see that? You're a parent of a home, or you're a leader of the people, and you want to get the people to repent. Yira atzma b'fneim shehu ko'es k'dei liyasrim. You should make it appear as if you're angry in order to chastise them. Nevertheless, inside, how should you be? Calm. V'teheidato miyushavis beino levein atzmo. Calm between you and yourself inside. So even though you sometimes have to put an outward appearance of anger in order to rebuke somebody else inside, you got to be a calm person. Like a person who will rebuke somebody in a time of anger, but really, you're not angry. I just want to say that perhaps for someone on the level of the Rambam, this is a possible level to achieve. But for those of us who feel angry. It's extremely hard to be angry on the outside and not angry on the inside. Amru Chachamim HaRishonim. And then the Rambam says, I'm continuing on your handout. Kol HaKoes Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zara. That for you is bold and outlined. Because what's the title of the shiur? So what if I'm angry? It's not idol worship. Except that the Gemara says in Masachah Sanhed, in Masachah Shabbos, 105b, so I footnoted it for you so you know the source. Kol HaKoes Ki'ilu Oved Avodah Zara. So the Rambam tells you, quoting Chazal, you should know that anyone who becomes angry, as if he has worshipped idols. But Amma should call a kois. Look in the next words. Im chacham hu, chachmaso mistalakas mimenu. If he's a wise person, a chacham, in the moment of anger, he loses his wisdom. Im navihu, if he's a prophet, nivuaso mistalakas mimenu. In the moment of his anger, he loses his prophecy. Look in the next words in bold. Please look inside. Baalei kaas ein chayehem chayim. Someone who's a Baal Ka'as, a person who's habitually angry, he's not even alive. Lefichach tziv, even though he is alive, do you understand? His life is worthless. Lefichach tzivu lihisrachik min akas, we have been commanded to stay far away from anger. Ad sheyanhig atzma shelo yargish afilu dvarim hamachisim. You shouldn't even be affected anymore by things that would really make a regular person angry. V'zohi haderech hatova. This is the good path. V'derech hatzadikim. And the path of the righteous. Hein aluvim ve'einon aluvim. They accept humiliation. They don't humiliate others. Shomim cherpasan. They hear their cherpa. Shame. And they don't reply. Osin me'ahava. Everything they do, they act out of love. Usmechin by yisurim. They rejoice in troubles. Okay? This is very high level. We're looking at the words of the Rambam. It is an avoda of a lifetime, but we have to keep in mind the key nukuda, and that is for anger, there's never a place. When it comes to the spectrum of midos, everything is the Beinoni's path. That's in Perek Aleph of Hilchos Deos. Then he gets to Perek Beis, and the Rambam says, well, for gaiva, haughtiness, and for ka'as, anger, you should be all the way to the extreme, quoting the Chazal, the Gemara, whoever is angry is as if he worshipped about desire. So now the title. So what if I'm angry? It's not idol worship. Perhaps that's not emes. Maybe. I'm sorry. Maybe if I am angry, it is as severe as idol worship. So Amru Chachamim HaRishonim, and I'm quoting the Rambam again. Kol HaKoyis Kiilu Oved Avodah Zarah. So now we have to understand why. Why is anger so severe? Avodah Zarah is one of the Ayarog Val Yavors. Okay, the people of Noah's times, Rashi tells us, right in the beginning of the parasha, one of the three sins that they did was idol worship. Avodah Zarah is a sin that you must be Yarog Val Yavor. You must give up your life. Rather, I'm not passing halacha here, I don't attempt to, but we should never know, we should never be in a situation. But if they tell you, worship Avodah Zarah or give up your life, a person has to, it's Yaharok, he should be killed, Va'al Ya'avar, you shall not transgress. Avodah Zarah, Gilirai Shvichazamim. So Chazal are telling me, the sages say, the ka'as, an exhibition of anger, it's like I'm worshipping idols. They don't say like I'm eating treif. They don't say like I'm transgressing Shabbos. I'm not saying those are good ideas. But it's one of the three Yarog Val Yavors. How severe is an exhibition of ka'as? That it's like I became an idol worshipper, for which I must give up my life rather than transgress. So how is it possible, or how can we understand and cause is so severe that it is seen as so crucial by Chazal that if one transgresses, he's in very big trouble. So first of all, the next source on your handout, the footnote tells you, it's from Chulin 7b, Maseches Chulin, Amad Zayin, no, Daf Zayin, Amad Beis. The Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says, on your hand, oh, ein adam nokef etzbo milamata, ela im kein machrizin alof milamala. A man does not stub his toe below unless it is decreed, announced upon him from above. So the most basic level to understand what the sages say, that ka'as, anger, is akin to idol worship, is understanding that we believe that everything that happens is decreed from above. Don't right now bring up Bechira Chafshis. That is a different shir for a different time. It is a classic timeless, age-old question. I'm just going to preempt your comments. How is everything decreed from above if man has free will? It's not a stira, it's not a contradiction. We have to worry about our bechira chafshis, and God worries about his hidia. I have to worry about my free will, and God worries about the fact that he knows everything that's going to happen. Everything is decreed from above. Everything. I don't stub my toe if it's not decreed from above. So if I'm angry at a certain person, in a sense, I have to see that person, for whatever reason, as a vehicle from the Ribono Shel Olam sent. It was something I was supposed to hear. Doesn't mean I like it. It doesn't mean it's nice. It doesn't mean they're not going to be held accountable, because yes, they have Bechira Chafshis. But in some fashion, in some way, I was meant to hear that. It's an Isayim from me, and I have to remain quiet, not to exhibit anger. Because if I'm angry at the person, then what I'm saying is by default I'm angry at Hashem. And then if I'm angry at Hashem, then I deny that it's from him. And then, kilu oved avod desire. Is this from God? If it's from God, then I'm a kofer if I think it's not. Furthermore, okay, so the most basic level is anger is like idol worship because I deny it's from the Ribono Shel Olam. But if everything is from the Almighty, then this person's words are also from the Almighty, even though, yes, the person still had Bechira, and they would still be held accountable for what they said. Doesn't mean Hashem didn't want me to hear it. Furthermore, if Aaron Lichtenstein teaches something else, and you have it on your handout, because I felt it was important for you to have, I want you to see his words inside. Look what he says. Anger is dehumanizing. I'm quoting from your sheet. It expresses a loss of self-control. Instead of the person being master of his passions, he has become enslaved to his emotion. Paraphrasing. That is why, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, it is as if he has worshipped idols. Idolatry means handing over control to something else. So this is a different answer than the first insight. The first insight and way to understand anger is like idol worship is because I believe that the person acted on his own volition. It wasn't decreed from above. That means I don't believe everything is decreed from above. Then I'm denying God's hashgacha pratis. That's not allowed. And it's like you worshipped idols. If you don't believe God's Hashgacha Pratis is everywhere and all-encompassing, then maybe something else has control. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein adds a new dimension. And he says that anger is dehumanizing. Dehumanizing. It makes you subhuman. You become enslaved to your passion, to your emotion, to your ka'as. Why is it like you worshipped idols? He says, because idolatry means you hand control over to something else. In this case, what do you hand control over to? The Avodah Zarah of ka'as. The foreign worship of anger. And there Rav Aaron Lichtenstein says, and I didn't give you the whole excerpt, so I'm going to quote from my notes. He continues in this beautiful piece, and he says, in a sense, though not in a strictly halachic sense, but in a sense, listen to this. Anger, by the way, begins where? Not with an external display, but anger begins inside. I have to be angry in my thoughts and my emotions before I express it. By the way, there's two levels. There's the person who the Rambam speaks about who never is angry inside. The Rambam speaks about that person. And then there's the person who may be angry inside but does not exhibit anger on the outside. For me, on my level, I'm going to be happy if I could be of the second category. If I'll be of the first category, I could try. I don't know if I could ever be there. But it's a maila. I'm not knocking the fact that it's a maila to feel anger but to not express it. I'm not saying it's recommended. Please understand. I'm just talking about Lamaisa, the level that I am on in my Avodah Hashem. I can't say I never feel angry. That's not MS. You want to know the MS? The MS is I do feel angry inside. But the MS is afterwards, what do I do with my anger? So there's two different levels. The level is the person who mamish never feels angry, and we saw that in the Rambam. And the Rambam says that. That's what the Rambam says. He should conduct himself in such a fashion, he shouldn't even feel things that make him angry. I'm not on that madriga. I hope I can reach a madriga of not expressing anger. So Rambam Lichtenstein, but we understand that anger begins inside. Thoughts of sin, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, listen to this, in a sense, and then he says not in a halachic sense, in a hashkafic sense. Thoughts of sin are worse than sin itself. For the center of the human personality is the heart and mind, and not the body. The epicenter of a human being is not my externality, It's my internality. If a person sins with his hands and feet, says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, he defiles some peripheral aspect of himself. But if he sins with his heart, his passion, his thoughts, he has defiled the epicenter of his spiritual self. And that, in a sense, is worse. So even to feel a negative emotion is very, very dangerous, because I have, in a sense, defiled the inner essence of who I am. So the internal rage is also very, very problematic. The Chafetz Chaim teaches, the man who is lost in fury loses perspective. All of a sudden, with anger, the crooked path appears straight. The forbidden seems permissible. Listen what he says. When someone becomes lost to fury, says the Chafetz Chaim, insults, quarreling, slander are no longer distant from him. He may come to humiliate others publicly because he is no longer guided by reason. This is very similar to what Aaron Lichtenstein tells us. You lose yourself to something else. You are no longer guided by reason, says Rav Lichtenstein, says the Chafetz Chaim. Even the most unspeakable acts can come now within reach when we allow anger to overtake who we are. But I really don't want questions, but I'm going to take one comment just because I want to get through the material. Yes?
What everyone's probably thinking. So when you get angry, how do you stop it? How do you control it?
Right, okay. So when you get angry, how do you stop it? Which is really what we're trying to discuss in today's shiur. It's a very good question. I'll tell you what I've been working on, and what helps me to a degree is if something happens that would cause anger, I really think to myself, Michal, Hashem wanted this to happen. And like, I stop. Hashem wanted this to happen. Can't say I'm always successful with that. I really try, especially in regard to young children who can be at times trying or fill in the blanks. And it can lead to amounts of where the parent wants to display anger. If I think to myself, Hashem wanted this to happen, which is, by the way, the first approach. Ein adam nokef etzba milamata, ala im kein machrizin alf milamala. I don't start thinking the whole Dvar Torah, because if I start thinking, how am I worshipping idols, I don't have time for that. In the moment of anger, it's very, very fast. But if you hang on to one nekuda from this year, take one nekuda that is mechazek you, it can help. I'm telling you from personal experience, it can help. Just stop. Hashem wants the child to be doing that. Or the person. Or the cashier to not be talking nicely to. I don't know. Okay? You need to take one nekuda to be mechazek yourself. That's what we saw. The Rambam says that. You have to be mechazek every day. Okay? Sefer HaChassidim relates a very powerful story. There was once a son who had tremendous kibur av. He excelled in the mitzvah of honoring his father. And by the way, it was a very good question. Thank you. I'm glad I took it. On his father's deathbed, he said to his son, "My son, you have always honored me in my life. You must honor me after your death. I command you, if you should ever become overcome by anger, hold your anger in overnight." Some of you may have heard this. After his father's death, the son was forced to embark on a very long journey. By the way, the son wasn't a young man. The son was a married man. It took him distant lands for tens of years. In our days, it's hard to understand that. But in the olden days, that is how the world worked. There was no way to get in touch with the guy who set sail and said, "I'll see you when I'm done making parnasa." Unbeknownst to him, he left a wife at home who was expecting a child. P.S. He came home many years later, and he was about to enter his home, and he saw through the window that there is a young man in his house with his wife, and he is very, very angry and enraged, and he wants to go in and kill this man who has violated his marriage and his home. And he remembered that on his deathbed, his father said to him, "You have to hold in your anger overnight." He went to sleep in the inn in town. He didn't go into his home. And in the morning he went home, and the wife said to him, "Please meet your son who I gave birth to in your absence, who had grown into a young man when you were no longer here." And he realized that had he acted in his anger at that moment, he would have killed, in the moment of anger, his very own son and perhaps his wife as well. Furthermore, the Rambam says, and we saw it inside, I'm going to the Rambam. If you want to instill fear on the members of your household or on your children, Shayachziru lemutav. You want to return them to the right path. You should look as if you're angry to chastise them, but your mind should be very calm. I'm quoting from the Rambam, but I'm saying it in English. As if you appear like you're angry, but you're not angry. Rav Shlomo Wolbe writes, look at the next source on your handout. Look at this paragraph. By the way, I just want to say something. He's talking about chinuch habanim. But this is true of any situation. Think of another adult who becomes enraged and starts screaming at people in a terrorizing fashion. It's not, his words are not only true about parents to children, and therefore they are applicable to every single one of us, even those who do not have young children in the house. It's not only for young children. Look at the next paragraph, it's in English, on your handout. Rav Shlomo Wolbe writes, another technique as destructive as spanking, or perhaps even worse, is yelling. When a parent screams at his child, bystanders can easily detect the child's terror. Screaming so powerfully affects the child's nerves, he begins to shake. It is much worse than a light spanking. Note the word light. Light spanking would fall under the... I'm not advocating spanking. Okay, I don't want a discussion on hitting children. Chas v'shalom. Light spanking perhaps may fall into the category where the Rambam says, exhibit anger, but inside be calm. A little tap on the hand. The child runs into the street. You have to teach the child not to do that. That's what the Rambam says. Sometimes you have to instill fear on your home. Sheyachziru lemutav. So the child runs into the street. So there has to be a way to deal with that child. So one is to become completely enraged and lose it and scream, and the child is terrorized forever. Light spanking, we don't run in a serious fashion. So we have to take light spanking. We're not talking about child abuse, please. Now, there's another paragraph that I didn't put in, so please listen, and then we're going to go back to the next paragraph. Rav Wolbe continues. Realistic. Of course, it's sometimes difficult for a parent to restrain himself. We can imagine such a scenario. A father comes home late, he's tired, he's hungry, the children see their father for the first time since the morning, they're clamoring for his attention. The mother after the whole day is also exhausted. Her temper is also short. They're trying to get the kids to bed, the mother's aggravated, the father's anxious, there's a rising tide of anger in the household. The father raises his voice. Under such a situation, it is very hard to stay in control. And yeah, Rav Chaim Volozhin, the father of modern-day yeshivas in the early 19th century, in the early 1800s, Rav Chaim Volozhin declared, these days, we're talking about 200 years ago, people will not listen to harsh language. If we speak to people harshly, they can't hear what we're saying. They're so terrorized by the tone of voice, by the facial expression, by the fear from the anger. They don't even know what we're saying. So you scream at the child and you totally lose it because he ran to the street. The child doesn't remember what he's even supposed to do. He's so afraid because of the anger. All he remembers is the matzav of anger. Rav Chaim Volozhin concluded, after someone whose nature makes it difficult to speak softly, and someone whose nature makes it difficult for him to speak softly, or who angers easily, is exempt from the command to offer rebuke. So you don't have to be the person who's giving others tochacha if it's difficult for you to remain calm. It's not your job. Leave it to somebody else. If you can't do it in the proper way with soft language, don't offer rebuke. Rav Wolbe says this is Rav Chaim Volozhin's ruling over 140 years ago. How much more applicable is this today? And now go back to your handout. After the dot, 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 the excerpt from Rav Wolbe. What should we do when a child does not listen? I'm on your sheep. We should express our request repeatedly and in different ways until the child hears and appreciates what we are asking. This is part of the wisdom of education. And we can say it's part of the wisdom of knowing how to be a person who is a person when it comes to being Adam Chaveiro. Knowing how to speak and knowing when to speak. This insightful advice, this crucial advice, is not only vis-a-vis children, it is true vis-a-vis every human being with whom we interact. So let's look at anger in the Torah and the consequences of anger. Miriam HaNeviah has died. The Be'er Miriam, the well in her merit, has dried up. The people are thirsty, and in a panic and great strength, they rise up against Moshe and Aaron. You have it on your handout. It's from Bamidbar, right? Parashas Sukkos, Perek Chof, Pasuk Zayin. And Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Kachas Hamata, I'm on your hands at the bottom, take the staff, gather the congregation, you and Aaron, your brother, V'dibartam El Hasela, the Einim, speak to the rock before their eyes, it will give forth water, water will come out from the rock, you will have, they will drink the congregation and their flock. And Moshe took the staff from before God, as he was commanded. Turn over your hand up, please, top of page 2, the extra continues. Vayakilu Moshe v'Aaron es ha'kahal al p'nei ha'sela. Moshe and Aaron gathered the congregation before the face of the rock. Vayomer lahem, and Moshe says, Shimu na hamorim, listen, O you rebels, famous last words. Or maybe I should say, infamous last words. Hamin ha'sela hazeh notzi lachem mayim. You think from this rock I'm going to get for you water? And Moshe lifts his hand and he strikes the rock with his staff twice. A lot of water comes out and the congregation and their flocks drink. And God says to Moshe and Aaron, Yana Sherlo, Amantam Bilakti Shendi, the Ein Ebene Israel. You did not believe in me to make a Kiddush Hashem before the eyes of the congregation of Israel. Therefore, you will not lead this people into the land that I am giving them. That is the root of Moshe's sin. By the way, there's different opinions of the commentators. Today we're going to focus on the opinion of, who do you think? The Rambam. Why the Rambam? Because what did we already see about the Rambam? A person should never, ever be angry, even if it's warranted and justified. So yes, there are many different opinions. Ibn Ezra, the Ramban, the Rambam, Rashi. We're talking about Rambam for purposes of our shiur today. The great Moshe, who knew God face to face. There never arose a prophet in Israel like Moses, says the Torah at the end of his life. What was so disastrous that because of this infraction, he is banished forever from Eretz Yisrael, not only in life, but even in death. His burial will be in Chutz Arts. So the Ramban, Nachmanides, quotes the opinion of the Rambam. So the excerpt from the Ramban, okay? It's on your hand. I forgot to underline the word Ramban. Oh, let's just look at what Rashi says first, by the way. Rashi, I'm on the top of page 2. Yana Sherlo, Amantambi, because you do not believe in me. Gila Hakasuv She'ulule Chetza Bovad. The Torah lets you know, if not for this sin, they would have brought them into Eretz Yisrael. It's unbelievable. So this sin is so disastrous that because of this, alone, so Rashi says, Moshe is not going into Eretz Yisrael. So what is the sin according to the Rambam, Maimonides? Look at the Ramban, because that Ramban is quoting Rambam. Is everyone with me? Rambam in Shmona Prakim says, ready? V'harav Rabbi Moshe, in Sof Perek Dalet Mishmona Prakim, I'm in the Ramban. Savur bo savra. He gives an explanation. The Amar, and he says, it's bolded for you. Ki Moshe Rabbeinu alav Hashem cheto hu shenata litzad haragzanus. He went to the side of rogues, anger. The Amro shimu nahamorim, because he shouted, so to speak. He exclaimed at the people, listen, O you rebels. Like the parent who says to the child, why are you always so chesvedek? That's not addressing the behavior or the acting out. That's brandishing the child as a chesvedek person. That's not saying what you just said was very chesvedek. Is there another way to say this? I won't answer you until you say it properly. Or you're such a chesvedek kid, all the time answering me back. See the difference? Shimuna morim, I've been schlepping with you for 40 years, you rebellious people! So the Rambam says, Moshe Rabbeinu alav Hashem chetohu shenata letzad haragzanus. He went to the side of anger, ba'amro shimuna morim. Listen, O you rebels, diktek alav Hashem yisparach. Hashem was exacting with him. Sheyehe adam kamo koes? A man like him, koes, should be angry? Lefnei adas b'nei Yisrael? B'makam she'ein ra'ui bo hakas. A man of his stature should become angry before the people of Israel in a place where it wasn't even appropriate to exhibit anger. Any behavior in a man of this stature, of this kind of behavior, constitutes a profaning, a chilo Hashem, profaning of God's name. Mipnei shemit unosav kulam umbidvurav hayu lemedim. From his midos and his actions and his words, the people will learn from everything he says. A leader, people learn from a leader. They hope by emulating the ways of Moses, they will be successful in this world and they'll be successful in the next world. They got a good portion. If I emulate my Rebbe and I do like my Rebbe does, then I'm going to be successful in Olam Hazeh. I'm going to get to Olam Haba. I'm going to have a good place in the Yeshiva Shalmala. A man of Moshe Rabbeinu's stature, for him to become angry is a chilul Hashem, says the Rambam. Va'eich yireh aleihem hakas. How could he display anger against them? V'hu min ha'pu'alos ha'ra'os. It is one of the bad actions, bad character traits, and it comes from a flawed disposition of character. So this makes a lot of sense, by the way, in what we already saw in the Rambam in Hilchos Deus. But Rambam has already told us, when it comes to Gaiva, Moshe did not ever exhibit any Gaiva. When it comes to Gaiva, all the way in the extreme of zero. When it comes to Kas, even when it's warranted, all the way in the extreme, says the Rambam, of zero. So therefore the Rambam says, he uses the word kas two times, Moshe exhibited anger for a man of his stature, this constitutes a chilul Hashem, especially because he's a teacher of the people, Rabbeinu, he's still my rabbi. I want to behave how he behaves, I will be successful in this world and in the next world. Moshe shouts at the people. Moshe becomes angry. God says, Ya'am asher lo amantam bi, it's on your hand up because you did not believe in me. It's the last pasuk that we saw from this story of hitting the rock. You're not bringing these people there to Israel. And I wrote in my notes, it's stunning. It's unbelievable. It's incredible. Can we say Moshe lacked faith? Ya'am asher lo amantam bi lakdisheni? Amantam, amunah. You did not have faith in me to believe in me to make a kiddush Hashem. So what does Rashi say there, please? Oh, we saw Rashi before. I said, let's look at Rashi, okay? So Rashi says, the Torah is telling you, if not for this sin, Moshe would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. Because you did not believe in me to make a Kiddush Hashem. In the moment of anger, I can't even say it about Moshe Rabbeinu, but I'm going to say it about us. In the moment of anger, I lose my belief in God a very little bit. That's why I'm Kihilu Oved Avodah Zarah. I'm not saying about Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm saying about myself. I can't even say that. But the Torah does say, Yana Shalom Man to be Lakti Sheni, Le'ini B'nei Yisrael. It's very, very strong statement. If I get angry, I don't think that God wanted me to hear that. And I express my wrath, and I get myself into very, very big trouble. And even Moshe Rabbeinu is not spared the consequences of the Midah of Kas. And what's very interesting is Rashi, is everyone with me? It's beautiful. Rashi seems to agree with the pshat of the Rambam, because Rashi, at the end of Bamidbar, look what he says. Bamidbar, it says on your handout, 12:9. No, not 12:9. What am I saying? 31:21. I'm going in order. Parshas Bamid, Sefer Bamidbar, Parak Lamed Aleph, Pasachov Aleph. The people return from war with Midian, and they have a lot of spoils from war. We're right at the end of Parshas Bamidbar, Matos Masai. They return from war. They have a lot of booty. They don't know how to kosher the kelim. So who should really tell them how to kosher the kelim? Moshe, because Moshe teaches them everything. Moshe forgot the halacha. Moshe became angry at them, and he forgot the halacha of how to kasher kelim. Again, I don't want to go into the story in depth. It's not for purposes of our shir, but I want you to see what Rashi says there. Why did he forget the halacha of how to kasher the kelim? Elazar had to tell them what to do. Elazar HaKohen, the son of Aaron, not Moshe. Why? Look at Rashi to Bamidbar 31:21. Done your hand up. Lefi Shaba Moshe leklal kaas ba leklal taus. Because Moshe entered the category of anger, he entered the category of making a mistake. Shenis amu menu hilchus guule gayim. The halacha of kashering kalim from the non-Jews, from Gentiles, was hidden from him. Because why? He became angry. Do you remember what the Rambam says? If he is a chacham, what happens to his chachma in the moment of anger? He loses his chachma. And if he's a Navi, what happens to his prophecy in the moment of anger? He loses his nevuah. Look what Rashi says here. Ba Moshe leklal ka'as ba leklal ta'us. Why doesn't he remember how to kasher kelim? because he became angry. V'chein atamotze b'shmini l'miluim. If you look in Parsha Shminim, after the death of Nadav and Avihu, he became angry at Aaron. They didn't eat a certain carbon properly. The pasuk says, "Vayiktof al Elazar v'al Itamar." He becomes angry at the Kohanim. Balaklal kaas, balaklal taos. Because he's angry, he erred in his halachic ruling of how they should eat the carbon. And finally, look at Rashi. Bishimunah morim. When he says, "Listen, O you rebels," and he hits the rock, "Al yaday ha-ka'as ta'a." This is very interesting, by the way, because these are Rashi's comments right at the end of the book of Bamidbar. In Parshas Chukas, Rashi says the sin is that he struck the rock, he didn't speak to the rock. Except that at the end of Bamidbar, Rashi adds something on. And Rashi says, three times Moshe became angry, balaklal ka'as, balaklal ta'os. Three times he entered the category of kaas, and all three times he erred in his rulings. He made a mistake. Of course, the anger by Shimunah Hamorim, it was public. It was a public Chil Hashem, and the consequences were dire. So even Moshe is not spared. We're coming up to wrapping things up, and we would do well to remember that there is only one anger that's ever justified, and that is one with a capital O. There's only one anger that's pure, one anger that's justified, one anger that's warranted, and that's the anger of Ribono Shel Olam. Shemos Perek Dalet, Pasuk Yud Dalet. It's on your handout. Vayichar af Hashem Moshe. The anger of God burned at Moshe, and he said, "Aaron, your brother, the Levi, I know he will be an interpreter for you. He will come unto me, you. He will be happy in his heart." At the snare, Moshe for 7 days does not want to accept his mission. Hashem's anger flares at Moshe. But maybe I'm just bringing you a couple of situations or instances in the Torah. We can't go through all the times when Hashem gets angry. Bamidbar 12:9, Miriam and Aaron speak Lashon Hara about Moshe. Vayichar af Hashem bam vayelech. The anger of God flared. The wrath of God flared at Miriam and Aaron, and he left. But look at Ha'emek Davar, the comments of the Ha'emek Davar. I'm on your hand, that it's very, very beautiful. On the anger of God flared at them. He left after that Miriam gets tzaras. Okay? So look what the Netziv writes in his Ha'emek Davar. Vayelech charon af halach kirega. The anger went in an instant. V'haya ha'onesh la'achar shahalach ha'charon. Miriam was punished after the anger left. We're talking about the anger of who? God. Look at the next words. De'ilu haya ma'anish b'charon af. Had God punished her from his anger, af lo haya mishtayer chas v'sham sari chalila, not a shred of her would have been left if God punished from the moment of anger. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Vayichar af Hashem." Hashem was angry. Vayelech, God's shechina, so to speak, departed. Then Miriam is stricken. Why, according to the Netziv, did God not punish from the moment of anger? Rather, he's angry. He leaves his divine presence from before them. Then he punishes, because if he would have punished from the moment of anger, there would have been nothing left. God's anger so all-encompassing, all-powerful, all-truthful, absolute emes and din, it would have been utter destruction. Ela kavash charono, he holds in his wrath. Va'achar shahalach anashes Miriam. After he left, so to speak, he punishes Miriam. By the way, we could take such a strong Mr. Haskell from here. Isn't that what the Rambam tells us about us? If you have to punish someone, rein in your anger. Only appear to be angry, but inside you shall be calm. Kaviyachol, who do we learn everything from? Hashem is hamalami Torah la'amo Yisrael, says Rav Salavechik. There's only one teacher. We think other people are teachers, but the Rav says there's one teacher. Who is it? The Ribono Shel Olam. He teaches us everything. So even this ties back to what the Rambam says. If you have to punish someone, you got to be calm inside. Because isn't it true that if you lash out from your place of wrath, you can destroy a person? It's absolute MS. If you punish from the place of that deep anger, if you're emulating God in a negative way, you think God got angry, I could get angry, you are destroying a person. But this Ha'emek Davar is crucial. It's teaching us that even Hashem, who can do whatever he wants, who's all-knowing, who's all-powerful, omnipotent, almighty, Ein Sof, there's no end to the Shechina, even he teaches us what? Don't punish from the place of anger, even when punishment is warranted and justified. Because if you do, you can destroy the person. Vayelech. Therefore he went. Therefore, how can we understand the pasuk from Kohelet on your handout? Perek Zayin, pasuk Gimel. The Kohelet tells us, Tov kas mischok. Anger is better than laughter. Anger is better than laughter. Didn't we just spend 55 minutes on my counter saying, don't ever be angry. Or, I'm going to change it. On my level, don't ever exhibit your anger while you work on not even being angry on the inside. So now, what on earth does it mean? Tov kas mischol ki beroa panim yitav leiv. Because a bad face is good for the heart. Really? Didn't we just spend 55 minutes saying the exact opposite of this pasuk? So Chazal teach us, Tov Kas Mischok, the Gemara says, Masecha Shabbos, on your handout, 30b, Tov Kas Mischok, whose anger are we talking about? The one anger that we said is always justified. Tov Kas Shekoes HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only good anger is the anger of Hashem. My anger never has a place. Tov kas mischok, tov kas, shekoes HaKadosh Baruch Hu al hatzadikim ba'olam hazeh. Listen to the Gemara first. Mischok shemisachik HaKadosh Baruch Hu al harasha'im ba'olam hazeh. What on earth is the Gemara talking about? It's better to experience the wrath of God towards the righteous in this world than the laughter towards tzadikim in the next world. So Rashi on the Gemara explains, Hashem is good to Rishayim in this world. He laughs at them, so to speak, in a good way. He gives them their brachos in this world so he can eradicate them from the next world. It's Rashi, it's on your handout. He shows them a smiling countenance, so to speak, happiness in this world, giving them their portion. But when they come to Olam Haba, they're kicked out. So, Tov Ka'as Mischok. If we have Yusurim in this world, we should understand that it is good, so to speak, to experience the wrath of God in this world better than the Rasha'im who get happiness in this world and wrath in the Olam Ha'emes. It's not possible for the wrath of a human being to be pure, untainted by frustrations and the like. Our expression of wrath and anger is never warranted because it can be entirely destructive. Even Hashem himself teaches us that. It will destroy ourselves. Anger eats away at me. It destroys the recipient. And ultimately, it destroys my relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam because it's like I'm worshipping idols. I told someone I was preparing a shir on Kas, and the title was, so what if I'm angry? It's not idol worship. And she said, oh, I get it, because it really is like idol worship, right? And I said, yes. The title's sort of a joke. And then she astutely remarked, everyone gets angry. And it's true, everyone does. And even though the Midah cannot be vanquished, it can certainly be reined in and controlled. The choice is ours. If we but try, the Almighty is on our hands, is on our side. Masechah Sukkah 52b, last, second to last source. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says, Yitro sha'adam miskaber alav b'chal yom v'yam u'mevakesh lamiso. Every day your Yetzer Hara wants to kill you. As the pasuk says in Tehillim, Tzofer Rasha Letzadik Umevakesh Lahamiso. The evil one, the Rasha, the Yetzer Hara, looks at you. He gazes upon you. He wants your death. V'yamale HaKadosh Baruch Hu She'ozer Lo Eino Yachalo. If God would not be in your side, you won't be able to overcome. But Hashem is on your side. Hashem Lo Ya'azvenu Biyado. Hashem won't leave you in His hands. If you but try, the Ribono Shel Olam will come to your assistance. I needed a conclusion to this shiur. It's unbelievable how Hashem arranges everything. I had mamish prepared the whole shiur. Worked the whole day. The shiur was prepared. I didn't have a conclusion. And I like a nice conclusion. And one of my 10-year-olds was having his bedtime snack. He was having a piece of cake, sitting with me at the kitchen table, which is also my desk, because the kitchen's my kitchen and my office. And the computer was still open because I had been working on the shiur till that hour. And he was talking the next day. They're going on a trip to the park. He's in Yeshiva Derech Hetar. I think the park or the beach across the road. Must have been the park. I think they're going to have a baseball game with his Rebbe. He's so excited. They didn't get any minuses for 3 days. Rebbe's taking them on a Rosh Chodesh trip. So unbeknownst to him, this fifth grader, one of my 10-year-old boys, provided me with the perfect conclusion. Mamish, I'd spent the day preparing the shiur, and as he eats his piece of cake, he says, and I quote, because as soon as he started talking, I started typing. My kitchen's not very big. Here's the table. I'm here with my computer, my office chair. He's on the other side eating his cake time, but it's true. And as soon as he starts talking, I went to my document. I started typing, and I quote verbatim. We're going on a trip tomorrow to the park. The child is 10. My Rebbe is so nice. And this is how my son says it. And he never gets mad. Ever. Never once did he yell at us. He smiles at us and he says, I'm quoting my 10-year-old, boys, I do not expect you to be perfect, but please stop doing that. He's a really good Rebbe. At the beginning of the year, he said, I'm going to try to be the best Rebbe you ever had, and you boys will try to be the best class I ever had. I was typing as he was talking. The Chavetz Chaim would say, it's the very last sentence on page 2. The fact that a human being is unable to become perfect does not mean he can therefore neglect his duty to be good. Perhaps in regard to the Midah of Kas, which we are never to be in the middle path, Hashem is saying to us, I don't expect you to be perfect, but please stop doing that. So what if I'm angry? It's not idol worship, or is it? For even if we're unable to become perfect, we must always strive to be good, and then Hashem helps us on the path with which we want to go. We should be zocha to continue that tzlacha and success in our avodas Hashem as our lips continue moving from the avoda of Elul and Tishrei. I wish you all chodesh tov and a wonderful day. Thank you, everybody.